I just want to give honor to my pastor and Brother Tim, Michelle, the elders, deacons, ministers, and everybody, and Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and the Father. Amen. Just excited about what God is doing here. I'm excited about what God has been doing in our marriages, in our homes. Oh, my God. I'm excited about it. The last time that I spoke was right after I came back from conference, and I shared with y'all that God had given me an anointing to commit my life. God gave me an anointing to lay down my life in the prayer. But he gave me an anointing to lay down my life. God gave me an anointing to lay down my life. And it was going to happen in the prayer. Oh, my God. When we started to praying about unity in the marriages. Oh, my God, what God has done in my home because I committed to the prayer. I committed to the prayer. And God is committed to me. Oh, I'm excited about it. Whew. Last Wednesday night, I got up here to tell y'all that God had given me a strategy about how to win my home and how to have the Spirit of God in my home. And when I got up here, I got delivered from a superior spirit that I had been praying about for a while. I didn't know I had it, of course. We never know what is in us till the Holy Ghost shows us. But Pastor asked me to share about that superior spirit. And so I want to start with the scripture, James 3:16. Lord, we just give you praise today. We give you praise, God. We just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our homes. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're showing us in this prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for this church that we don't get canned messages, God, but we get stuff that comes straight out of the prayer. We get the prophetic. We get the now. We get what God is doing right now. And we just thank you for that, God. We thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not a dried, stale piece of bread. Thank you, Jesus. James 3:16. It says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, there's confusion in every evil thing. Are there. Where envy and self-seeking is. And some of your Bibles say where envy and strife is, but my Bible says self-seeking. And I'm thinking about that superior spirit and how it operates and what it does. For me, I believe that it came in me because of feelings of being inferior. Of people in my past made me feel less than them. They made me feel like I was stupid, like I didn't know how to do anything. When I was married to my first husband, he held me down with his knees in my arms one day and was cussing me, and so I cussed him back. I didn't know Jesus, and this is just how we lived, okay? I started cussing him back, and he said, you don't cuss me. And I said, what? You think you're better than I am that you can cuss me, but I can't cuss you? And he said, yeah. I said, get off of me. And I told him again, get off of me. I went straight down the hall. I had a Ruger 22 pistol strapped to the headboard of my bed. I ain't playing. I went in there, pulled it out of the holster, popped the clip out, made sure I had bullets in it, stuck it back up in there, put one in the clip, and I sat there on the bed like this. I'm thinking to myself, you know you're bigger than me. You know that I can't fight you toe-to-toe. You know, and you're not going to mistreat me like that. You're not going to do me that way. And so I didn't shoot him. I really didn't even want to, but here's the deal. What I done, what it was he put me under him. And I'm going to kill you if you put me under you. Don't push me down. Don't make me feel like I'm nothing. Don't make me feel like I'm nobody. Who do you think you are? You're not going to do me that way. And so I made a determination in myself when I left him that nobody was ever going to do me that way again. Nobody is ever going to push me down again. And I would have killed him. I mean, I had got to the place where, look, you don't just kill somebody physically. You can kill them in the spirit, okay? You can kill them because you don't give to them what they need. You can kill them with your words. You can kill them because you can suck the very life out of them. And I had made my mind up. Nobody's going to do me that way anymore, or I'm going to kill them. And I didn't mean just in the natural. I mean, I'm going to kill you. I will kill you. You can't do that to me. So right then, and there were other things that happened where he made me feel stupid. You know, and then there were other people that just made me feel stupid. And so a lot of times we'll take that and we'll turn it around and we'll go and we'll study harder than anybody else and we'll go after knowledge. You know, I'd done it with the Word of God. I would read, when I first got saved, I would read 8 hours a day. I mean, literally read the Bible 8 hours a day because I wanted to know something. I had to understand it. I had to get an understanding of it. But that superior spirit, it causes a lot of things. And the way that you talk to people, it'll cause you to It'll cause you to think that you're asking them something, but you'll really just be telling them. You know, like I would say, hand me this or go take out the trash. And I think I'm asking you to do something. But really, that superior, you ought to do what I'm asking you to do because it's right. You know, I'm always right. You know, so y'all do what I say, you know. But it affects the way that you talk to people. You talk down to them a lot of times. When you go up and you start talking to somebody, if they disagree with you, then you'll just brush off what they say. It makes you feel like you're on the same level, you know, with people that are in authority over you. And so when you're talking to them, and they'll say something to you, and you just... they're not saying what you want them to say. They're not agreeing with you, so you just act like what they said was nothing. Okay. It operates a lot in our thought life. I mean, this superior spirit will make you feel like you know more than everybody else. And it may not be in every area. It may just be, I know the Bible more than anybody else. It may just be, I know how to fish better than anybody else. I'm serious. It may just be that, I know how to pray more than anybody. I do my job better than anybody else. Can't nobody do my job the way I do it. So it don't have to operate in every area of knowledge, but it goes after knowledge so that it looks like it's somebody. Here I was down here, and you had me under your foot. You know, I was nobody. I was nothing. I was stupid, but I'm going to show you I'm somebody. I'm going to learn more than you. So it exalts knowledge, and not just in every area, but it does in at least one area, but it'll make you think that you're smarter than everybody else. You'll get these thoughts all the time. You're smarter than them. You know more than they do. you know, you'll have thoughts of being superior to other people. Oh, I know how to cast the devil out better than so-and-so. It'll constantly bombard you with thoughts of you're smarter than everybody else. Your husband, I'll do what you say because you're the smart one, you know. The kids called me Ain't IQ because I would take IQ tests. I liked the fact that I was smart, and I would take tests to show, I'm smart. They call me Ain't IQ because I like to take them, IQ tests. But I'll tell you something about a haughty spirit and a superior spirit is when you go to say something to somebody, they feel that spirit behind it, you know, and people don't like you a lot of times if you have a haughty spirit. Okay, I'm just, because they hear that spirit behind what you're saying. Okay, it's like even in your actions, it's like just get out of the way and let me do it because I want to show you I can do this better than you, you know. Just, I'm not going to teach you how to do it because then you might know something, but just get out of my way, you know, let me do it for you because I'm, you know, I'm better. And I noticed that one way to see if you have the spirit, you know, because I did, is that whenever something goes wrong, the first thing you'll say is stupid. They're so stupid. They're dumb. They're idiots. You know, you're always going to say stupid or something like that. That was my first response. I told y'all, people pull out in front of me, stupid, you know. Remember when I taught on curses, that was the word I used, stupid, because that's what you do when you get mad. I remember I told you last week, when I got mad at my husband, what did I call him? Stupid, yeah, because you're above, and so you want to, you know, push people down. If people have that, I know people that had that. And I'm going to tell you, one day I'm standing at the back door of my office and I look out and I see this guy walking around and immediately it comes up in my spirit, I don't like him. And so I said, God, why do I not like him? I don't even know him that well. I don't even know his name, but I don't like him. And God showed me, but it was because of that right there, because he had that superior spirit and he made me feel less than him. And I went in there and I made a list of everybody that ever made me feel inferior to them. And I went and I repented for every one of them. Every one of them, I said, God, this person made me feel less than. God, I forgive them. I'm asking you to forgive me. You know, forgive me, God, forgive me. Forgive me for coming up under that spirit of inferior, you know. But then then you'll turn around and you become superior. You think you know everything. Think you know more than other people. And it'll make you want to kill somebody. Just like I said, it make you want to, you know. James said, 3:16, and I already read it, but I'm going to look at it again. He said, where there's envy and self-seeking, there's confusion and every evil thing. So that's what was in my home. You know, our homes, our marriages are supposed to be a picture of heaven on earth. God created the family first. He created the man and the woman first. He created marriage first. And that earth was supposed to be a reflection of heaven. There's supposed to be unity in our homes just like there's unity in heaven. We're supposed to be a reflection of heaven. And we've been told here years ago, Steve Foss said that we were going to set the standards in CrossFit, Arkansas, that we were going to be the ones who set the standards here. But when I look at some of the marriages, they set a standard, okay? There are a few. Okay, but our church, My family, my marriage wasn't setting a standard. You can look at my family, my marriage, and say, ooh, I want to be like them. You know, I'm just real, okay? But it was because of that superior spirit. I had my own kingdom, okay? I said, welcome to my world. This is my world. You know, welcome to it. If you know, my big thing was, it's always, it's my way or the highway. I was looking for a man when I found you, you know. And so I'm serious. Y'all laugh, but I'm serious. That's how I was. So God had really had to do a work in me. But I had that kingdom of self because I was superior. He was going to serve me, you know. And in so a lot of ways, my husband did serve me. He would cook supper more than I do, and he fixed my plate and bring it to me. I know, y'all, this sounds bad, but he'd bring it to me while I'm sitting there in the chair on the couch. And now, if I cook supper, I didn't bring his plate to him, but I would cook every once in a while. And I did clean a lot of stuff that he wouldn't clean. I mean, now, he did wash. He helps. I'm not kidding. My husband helps. But there's some things he's never done. He never cleaned. There's some things he never cleaned, okay? But we kind of worked it out, and this was just how we done it. But the bottom line was, I didn't serve him. I had my own kingdom. It was a kingdom of self. Let's go on down to James 4:1-2. James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have, and you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Fighting because of the desires in you. My desire for you not to mistreat me, I'm going to fight over it. My desire to be right. My desire not to be abused. My desire not to feel less than or stupid. I'm going to fight for those desires. Do y'all see what I'm saying? There's desires in me. My desire is that you don't abuse me. My desire is that you don't mistreat me. And it's causing a war in my members because of the needs that I have. You're not meeting them, you know. I got desires that you're not meeting. It's causing me to war and to fight against you because my desire is that you don't mistreat me. And to me, if you don't get up and do the dishes when I tell you get up and do them, you're mistreating me. And so I'm going to fight with you over it. Okay. I see I'm the only one that lives here. This is just where I live, okay? All right. I'm going to make my own way. Making my own way. Let's turn to Romans 2, verse 6. Making my own way. I'm going to fight to get there. Okay, Romans 2:5 says that it's talking about the righteous judgment of God. And then we're going to start in verse 6. It says, who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So if you do what's right, you get eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, and some of your Bibles may say contentious right there. But to those of you who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish on every soul who does evil. Verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what's good. So we see right there, that word contentious, let me just tell you, in verse 8, it means self-seeking, and it also means loving quarrels and fond of strife. Making my own way. Fighting with you when you don't do what I want you to do. Fighting with you whenever you say something that I don't like. Fighting with you because of the desires in me not to be mistreated, or because of the desires in me not to be pushed down, because of the desires in me to feel like I'm over you. Fighting and warring, you know. Ooh. Love it. Loving quarrels and fond of strife. What does it get you? Tribulation and anguish. You think my house is heaven on earth when it's my kingdom and everybody's got to bow down to me? Everybody's got to do what I say, or I'm going to be mad. I'm going to pitch a fit. I'm going to be ugly. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You know that the Bible says that the marriage between a husband and wife is supposed to be just like our Jesus's relationship with the church. You know, he loved the church enough to give his life for it. And if a husband loved his wife enough and covered her and protected her, I don't see how a wife would want to do anything wrong. If he was really there for her, really loved her and protected her, and she felt safe and secure with him, you know. But I didn't know that when I got married. I didn't know that I was supposed to respect him and honor him and even obey him and submit to him. I didn't know that. Just like we obey the Lord and submit to him, we're supposed to submit to our husbands. I didn't know that. So I was disrespectful to my husband. Like I said, I was over him. If he didn't do it my way, I was going to kill him. I killed him spiritually. You know, he don't want nothing to do with this God I have. Because even though I was coming to church, I still had my own kingdom. Okay. I still have my own kingdom. I don't know. What is righteousness? Because it says right there, to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they're going to get indignation and wrath. What is righteousness? It's right standing with God, that everybody always says that's what it is, but it's just doing the right thing. It's being right. Being right. I mean, lining up to this word and doing what's right. Let's look at another scripture, Ephesians 6:5. Okay. It says in Ephesians 6:5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. He says, be obedient to those who are your masters. So who's my master? Anybody that I'm supposed to submit to, any authority in my life, my pastor, my husband, my boss. Yeah, and the Bible says to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, you know, but do it with sincerity of heart. Do it with everything that's in you. Be sincere whenever you obey them. Be sincere. Okay. That that word obey there, it's a word, hoopa, let me look for it. Hoopa is going to sound like something. Let me find it. Well, maybe I tore it out. Oh, there it is. Hoopakayo. It reminds me of that song. Hoopakayo or something like that. Hoopakayo, okay? That word, obey, is the Greek word hoopakayo, which means, the word is obey, but it means to listen. To listen, to hearken to a command, to obey, to be obedient to, and to submit. In Luke 8 and 10, y'all don't have to turn there, Jesus tells them, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, how come you always speak in parables? And he said, let me just read it. 18:10. No, that ain't it. Oh, did I say 8? I'm sorry. And this is quoted in the Bible several times. He says, seeing they may not see, and hearing that they may not understand. That's why he spoke in parables. So that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And then it goes on down in verse 18 after explaining the parable to them and tells them, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he seems to have is going to be taken from him. So he's giving them a clue right there. He said, I talk in parables so that hearing they won't really hear. And one thing I've learned about this superior spirit is it really don't hear what you're saying. Now I'm going to tell them myself. But Pastor, last year when we went to conference, my prayer was that I'd be able to hear what Pastor's saying. That was my prayer, not this year, but last year when I went to conference. That's what I was praying about, that I would be able to hear what she's saying, because sometimes she would say something to me and I just couldn't get it. I didn't really get what she was saying because I was hearing her, but I wasn't hearing her to obey her, really, because I had that superior spirit. It'll make you not hear. So when your boss tells you something and you think you heard them, and you think you're doing what they tell you to do, okay? This is just like Saul in the Bible when Samuel, you know, gave him instruction, go here and wait for me. You know, what happened? He got tired of waiting, so he makes the sacrifice himself. Then Saul comes and says, why did you do that? Because you done that, God's going to rip the kingdom from you. Then the next time, Samuel told him through Samuel, go into this city, destroy everything. So what does he do? He doesn't. He keeps the king alive, Agag, keeps the sheep and different things. And Samuel says, why didn't you do what God told you to do? He said, I did. And I believe he really believed that he done what he was told to do. But he just couldn't hear. Because this superior spirit will make you not hear what people's saying. And then when you can't hear what they're saying, you can't hear what God is saying. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in a place where you feel like you don't ever hear God, okay. And since God has delivered me, I mean, I've been working on this superior spirit for a little while. We prayed about this, It's been a little while, maybe a month ago. You know, I mean, we've been, and I prayed about it before. I saw that I had it because, well, I just did. I prayed about it for a while, maybe even last year. You know, sometimes this stuff comes out little by little. I mean, and you just keep hitting at it and getting up little things until you get to the root of it. The root of it came out last Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus. But it'll cause you not to hear. And then it'll cause you not to hear what God is saying. I mean, in the churches, in the book of Revelation, to every one of them, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what God is saying. And so this spirit, this superior spirit, I mean, you think you know more than God. You know, because I'll tell you why, because you won't submit. Because in your house, you're the king. And God said, you know, there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible that tells us to love and to treat people with kindness and, you know, and to respect our husbands and to serve one another. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures that tells that we're to obey, but we don't. We think we're doing it. You know, I thought I was doing it. I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to do, you know. But I really was just doing as much as I wanted to do. And I wasn't really surrendered to the Lord. Now, well, when I came to that, when we had the Valentine's banquet back here that night, and when we left, it was just a real somber mood for me. I don't know if it was for y'all, because a lot of y'all spouses serve God and mine don't. And so she said back there, you know, during that message that, you know, the Bible says to turn their bodies over to Satan, the destruction of their bodies, that their souls be saved. And well, you know, I thought about that. I'll tell you something else I thought about. I'm going to go back to that. The Bible says that when a man and a husband, a man and a wife, come together, the two become one flesh. And you know what I thought about? In heaven, if we're going to be one, and I've done all this sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing at the altar, what I thought was, because I thought I laid down my life. I come to prayer. I'll spend hours before I teach or preach, hours studying and praying. And I thought I gave my life. But I'd kill him if he said anything wrong to me. I mean, you know, in the spirit, y'all get. Okay. If we're one when we get to heaven, and I made all these sacrifices and he didn't make any, where are we going to live at? I'm saying, okay, y'all, okay. They say there's an outer court in heaven. There's even thrones in heaven. And I'm thinking, oh, I've been so holy, and I've given up so much, I surely am going to sit on a throne. And well, he must be going to be in the outer court, but how's that going to be when we're one? And God told me a long time ago, I hadn't been saved long, that when I get this thing right, my husband's coming in. How many years have I been saved? 18. 18 years. And I ain't got it right yet. Because I had my own kingdom. I wouldn't serve him. I wasn't willing to do whatever it took. No matter what it took, I wasn't willing to do that. Until she said that day, and I felt just the heaviness of that. Oh, my God, I haven't done everything that I can do. But you know what? I am encouraged. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And I encouraged myself in the Lord. I come to the altar the next day, and I got in prayer about it. Because I didn't like that way. I decided, okay, God, Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for me to let. And I'll tell you what helped. When Pastor, God showed her that abuse, and God broke that abuse out of me, because that was a part of my problem. You know, you weren't going to do me that way. Nobody was going to mistreat me anymore. I was not going to be abused anymore. You know, I'm going to rise up and take care of myself. That was where superior started in me. You're not going to make me feel stupid. You're not going to abuse me anymore. You're not going to mistreat me anymore. I'm going to take care of myself. Self-seeking. And I was contentious with it, because it was my life, and I wasn't willing to give it for that soul. But when I went to conference this year, I got an anointing to lay down my life in the prayer. And it was in the prayer where I decided, God, whatever it takes. You said, in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, God said he made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So it doesn't really matter what goes on in my home. There's things my husband does that I don't like. Even, you know, I've got delivered from a lot of different things, the control and different things. And the biggest thing for me was just that negative. Negative, always fussing. The dog's done this, Kebo done that, you know, it was there. And so it would frustrate me, suck the very life out of me, you know. But I saw in the Word that we're supposed to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, you know. And I feel like God said he gave us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing should by any means hurt us. I think he made us the head and not the tail. So I'm thinking, no matter what he's doing over there, I can still overcome it. I can still have victory in it. So God gave me a strategy, and it was to humble myself before him. And so next time he did whatever, I'm like, okay, God has he's done this for me before. He's told me what to do before a situation happened. And so when it happened, I knew what to do. And so he gave me a strategy. And so yesterday, he starts fussing about something, and I say, okay, now's the time. I need to use a strategy. Okay, what do I do? You know, that's what I mean. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how do I pray? Because this is what God said, just humble yourself and pray. I say, okay. So he's, so I say, you spirit of strife, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. You shut your mouth and get out of my house. He comes back in there and says something else. I said, go in the name of Jesus. And then I said, Lord, I'm asking you to touch my husband's heart. And I just started praying right there, right then. God, I thank you for bringing unity in my home. I ask you to touch my son. God, I'm asking you whatever is troubling my husband right now to have, you know. And I just started praying. I set the atmosphere in my house, and not the enemy. Not my kingdom anymore. God's kingdom. Woo, glory. Woo. No more strife, no more evil, confusion, no more of that. It's going to be God's kingdom in my house now, because I was willing to submit my life, willing to quit killing him for not doing whatever I wanted him to do. In Romans 18, there's a scripture that says that we're to follow after peace with all men. God desires for us to have peace in our home. He desires for there to be unity in our homes. And whether my husband, I believe that my husband is coming. As a matter of fact, he told me, he asked me on a date last night. He's not going to the camp this weekend, which, if y'all knew, my husband goes every weekend to the camp. He asked me on a date. He's staying home this weekend. So I think something's working. But anyway. Follow after peace with all men. As long as we have that superior spirit, not be able to be at peace with people. Not be able to be at peace with your boss. You're not going to be able to be at peace with your husband. You're not going to be able to be really at peace with God because you're not submitted to God. The bottom line is, if you're doing your own thing, if you're self-seeking, if you're fighting because you're trying to make somebody do something for you or make somebody be something to you or make somebody not be ugly to you, you're still fighting. It's still your own way. It's your own kingdom. And God ain't got nothing in, no part in that. He ain't got no part in that. I thank God for giving me a strategy for how to win my house and how to have the Spirit of God in my home, because I know that. Well, I want people to look at my home and say, that's the kind of marriage I want to have. That's the kind of relationship I want to have. I want people to be able to look at my life. You know what? God created the home first. We got to have unity in our home first. The Spirit of God has got to be in our homes. We can't just come in here and get the Spirit of God in here and go back home. You know, I'm reminded of the book of Acts. He said, You're going to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But they had to start right where they were. It's got to start right where you live. I live in Jerusalem. That's where I live. And that's where there has to be unity in my home. I can't come in here and preach to y'all and teach or pray and do all that kind of stuff if there's not unity in my home. God don't even hear my prayers. They're hindered. Well, I'm not going to say he don't hear my prayers. That might be a little much. But they're hindered. There's a scripture that says your prayers be hindered. You know, I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I want my home to be heaven on earth. I want my relationship with my husband to be like the relationship between Jesus and the church. You know, where he loves me and covers me and protects me, and where I respect him and honor him and submit to him and have heaven on earth. So I be a reflection of heaven. I want that. I want that more than I want my own kingdom. But we can't skip steps. We got to get it. We got to get it right at home, and then we can get it right in the church. Then we'll get it right in the city. You know, we'll take our homes first. You know, well, we've pretty much taken the church because Pastor's not going. She's not going to allow anything. You know, you know, but we got to get these homes, and we can get this city. Amen. Okay. That's really all I have. Maybe you see places in your life where you have exalted yourself over God, exalted yourself over other people. You know, the altars here are always open. I do know that God's not going to move in our lives to the degree that we want him to until we get this right. Because where we walk in superiorness and where we walk in that, it's not humility. There's no humility in that. Yes, it's proud. It's pride. It's proudful. And God said, I know the proud from afar off, you know, but he's near to those of a broken and contrite spirit. God will come near to you if you'll humble yourself and just repent. just repent. God, we just repent. I ask you to forgive me, God, for being proud. I ask you to forgive me, God, for exalting myself over other people. I ask you to forgive me for exalting myself, God. Forgive me. Forgive me for being superior, God, thinking I knew more than anybody else. Forgive me for thinking that I was smarter than everybody else. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, Jesus.